Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
All right, we are back at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Phone lines are open. This is Pledge Week. And of those with credit cards, it's 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110. Now, we've been telling you about the Biden crime family, the Biden crime family for a long time, folks. Remember we told you what they were involved with, even when he was the vice president, before he got in the White House, we were telling you. We told you all about that laptop. We told you all about that. Now, here, guess what? We got some whistleblowers that were within, on the inside, and they're coming clean now, and they're telling you about the Biden crime family. So go ahead and play that clip. Hey, wake up in there. Get in there. Play that clip.
Hey guys, welcome to the Liberal Hive Mind, a channel solely focused on exposing the abundant hypocrisy of the left. Holy bombshell of all bombshells. Now look, I'm never going to go on the record and definitively say that Joe Biden is definitely going to prison this time. That kind of copium is reserved specifically for out-of-their-mind blue anon wackos on Twitter. But I certainly will report on all of the news stories suggesting that Joe Biden is a criminal and where he belongs is in a cold, damp prison cell. Friends, it's not me saying it. It's an ex-Obama staffer, specifically the ex-White House stenographer, who is now claiming that he can testify and provide evidence suggesting Joe Biden was involved and Joe Biden is guilty in the Biden family illegal influence peddling scheme involving the Biden family, Ukrainian officials, and of course, Burisma Natural Gas. Let's take a look at what the man has to say. He seems pretty sure of himself. He is specifically saying, I have the evidence to put Joe Biden behind bars, or at the very least, to get him impeached. Let me show you guys what's going on. We got some stuff to get into, so let's roll the tape. All right, folks, take a look at this. Ex-Obama staffer blows whistle on Biden, quote, kickback scheme after Hunter Biden joined Burisma. Malfeasance in office. A former Obama administration staffer is blowing the whistle on the Biden family's business dealings, accusing President Biden of being involved in a kickback scheme in connection with his son Hunter's overseas business dealings while he was vice president. Mike McCormick, a stenographer for the White House for 15 years, told Fox and Friends First that the FBI has been ignoring his alarms on the matter despite his willingness to testify under oath before the federal grand jury investigating Hunter. McCormick, who worked with Biden from 2011 to 2017, detailed a key dialogue involving the vice president, aide Jake Sullivan, and the press on Air Force Two before a trip to Kyiv, Ukraine, on April 21, 2014. Sullivan, who is the current national security advisor, outlined in a White House transcript Biden's priorities for his trip to the country, which included U.S. investment in the Ukrainian energy sector, days after Hunter Biden joined the board of Burisma, according to the New York Post. Months later, and well after the trip, Congress allocated $50 million to Ukraine's energy market. I'm sitting back there with a tape recorder. Jake Sullivan comes back and somebody asks about fracking. His answer is, we're bringing a lot of American assistance over for fracking. Burisma was the direct beneficiary of that fracking, and that's what I recorded. And that's in a White House transcript, McCormick said. In the transcript, you don't know who Jake Sullivan is. It's a senior administration official. I'm the witness that says Jake Sullivan is the guy who said it, and he should be investigated because at the time, Hunter Biden was on the board of Burisma and Joe Biden is bringing American taxpayer money to enrich that company and himself and his family, he continued. Hunter joined the board for the Ukrainian natural gas firm on April 18th, just 3 days before Biden and his team traveled to Kyiv, but the critical piece of the puzzle was not made public until May 12th. McCormick argued that the timeline of the events suggests that Biden funneled American money overseas to enrich himself and his family and used his own influence to aid his son's rookie energy career. The former stenographer made it clear that he wants to present the information under oath before the grand jury in Delaware probing Hunter's business dealings, which is led by U.S. Attorney David Weiss. Take a look at what Mike McCormick said on Jesse Waters' show just the other night.
I went to the FBI and filled out their witness tip line. There's a website. You fill out all these tips, these web directions. I submitted it. If you lie to the FBI when you're submitting a tip like that, you can go to jail. I'm not lying. I'm telling the truth. Joe Biden is lying. Joe Biden is a criminal. That's the bottom line. I don't care if he goes to Timbuktu or Ireland or anywhere. He's a criminal. And I've got the evidence. If they put me in front of the grand jury that's right now seated in Wilmington with Special Prosecutor David Weiss, My testimony becomes the evidence that will put him in jail or will lead to his impeachment, probably lead to his impeachment first.
So you're saying that Joe Biden wasn't going to Ukraine to fight corruption. Joe Biden was going to Ukraine to help the natural gas industry. At the time, he knew that his son was on the board of the biggest natural gas business conglomerate in Ukraine.
That's exactly right. You know, Hunter Biden signed up for this trip. He signed up to be on Burisma on April 18th, 2014. Well, on April 16th, 2014, what I've seen in the laptop was Hunter put a schedule, something on his daily schedule. I'm meeting Devin and Lucas. Lucas, Devin Archer's son. Devin Archer is a fellow Burisma board member at the WH at 11. That's the White House.
Mm.
There's photos of Devin Archer and his son Lucas in the White House. The cover story was, oh, it's a book report for my son. He's being nice with Joe Biden. That's not what it was. This was a planning meeting for them to start their kickback scheme with Burisma. And there was a lot more planning that went on ahead of it.
How much more is it going to take? And probably a better question, how are we focused on non-existent crimes of Donald Trump and the Trump family when the evidence against the Biden crime syndicate continues to pile up? There are multiple Biden associates who have identified payments, bank transactions, identified Joe Biden as 10% the big guy. Now we have the White House stenographer who worked directly for Biden for 6 years, blowing the whistle, pointing the finger directly at Joe Biden, saying this man is corrupt, this man used his office of the vice presidency of the United States to engage in corrupt business dealings, using his influence and taxpayer dollars to enrich his family, and not a freaking peep we're still talking about Donald Trump's stupid $130,000 NDA payment? Not to mention, it's not just a White House staffer, it's the former Obama White House stenographer, the guy who literally records everything, listens to everything, and creates official White House transcripts. This guy followed Joe Biden and Biden staffers around and cataloged everything they did and said, and he's coming out and saying that the reason they went to Ukraine was to strike a corrupt business dealing to enrich themselves off a $50 million Congress-approved taxpayer stimulus directly to the company that Hunter Biden was working at in Ukraine. I mean, this is a bombshell of all bombshells. When it came to Donald Trump, the mainstream media standard was plant a random low-level staffer in the White House, then that low-level staffer just does a media tour with these ridiculous outlandish claims targeting the Trump administration. Every one of those situations ends up falling flat, or some random anonymous leak or anonymous source, a source familiar with the situation. You know, bogus story after bogus story from untrustworthy, non-credible sources, but now there's a White House stenographer joining the mountain of evidence of key business associates, bank records and all, like I just mentioned, and again, no peep. It shows you the double standard. It shows you how the mainstream media is complicit, how they work tirelessly to criminalize Donald Trump and his organization, while simultaneously working as hard as humanly possible to defend Joe Biden and other Democrats like him. The man is a criminal. There is no other possible explanation. You don't enter public service making a modest six-figure salary, and then somehow, unexplainably, find yourself in these positions where you're miraculously making millions upon millions of dollars a year, not only for yourself, but for your entire family. That just doesn't happen. Again, like I always say, the Bidens produce nothing. They don't do anything. Hunter Biden was a crackhead, smoking rock cocaine in various hotel rooms across the world, doing nothing but meeting with escorts for years, while making millions upon millions of dollars. Jim Biden, again, I have no idea what the guy does. Joe is just a lazy politician who just shuffles around and spends most of his time in Delaware, and somehow these guys are making millions. No, you make millions by producing, by actually doing something, providing a service or creating products, engaging in transactions. The Bidens don't engage in any transactions outside of peddling their influence in government. That's how they make their money. It's clear, and it continues to get even clearer. As again, the evidence continues to pile up, there's a real distinction between all the Trump cases and the Biden case, and that major distinction is actual evidence. The Biden crime family must be held accountable.
Alrighty, we're back. And folks, you won't hear any of that on Spectrum One. You won't hear any of that on NBC, ABC, CBS, NPR, CNN. No, you won't hear that there. They don't want you to know that. And like Leslie Stahl said, it's our job to tell you what to think and why you think it. And here, Christopher Wray has got absolutely no intention at all of investigating any of the Deathocrats, any of the Communist Party members, the corrupt. He's only going to go after pro-life Christians, those that want to, like, people who actually won't care about what their children are being shown in the public school systems, or pro-lifers out there trying to save innocent babies. Those are the people that Christopher Wray, listening to his boss, Merrick Garland, those are the people they'll go after. And I encourage you folks in the FBI that still have integrity, still have honesty, if you're still good, blow a whistle, or come out from amongst them. You're better than that. And this is why we've got to stand up and fight back. God has raised us up for such a time as this. And this is why we've got to do all that we can. Now, Joe, you know what's happening in Chicago on Saturday night here. Chicago Mayor-elect Johnson, well, he tells the Chicagoans, nah, don't be so upset with the teens so they terrorize. All right, okay. So they smashed some car windows and they shot some people and attacked citizens during the violence spree. And so, you know, look, you have to understand, it's not constructive to demonize youth who have otherwise been starved for opportunities in their own communities. And in other words, you know, I mean, if you really want to shoot, you know, a fellow student, I mean, if you're black and you want to shoot another black student, that's okay. And if it's even better if you shoot a white student there. And if you're white, well, you can shoot as long as you're only shooting white people. Don't shoot in Chicago there because, and by the way, you know, we've got to defund these police. We've got to defund these police in Chicago. This is Mayor-elect Brandon Johnson. You don't suppose he was bought, paid for, and installed by none other than George Soros, do you?
Well, the thing of it is with that, Pastor, also, you know, they've arrested some of the people that have done the violence, and they're always from out of town. So you know that's Black Lives Matters and Antifa.
Yep.
And here, Michigan is fighting back. They have a community-based group going after their Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, because her voter rolls, which are supposed to be, you know, impeccable here, revealed that there are 48,000 non-legal voter registrations from trailer parks, apartments, and housing addresses. Supposedly, there were found 592 registered voters at a high-rise apartment building, and some of the registrants were listed as residing in apartments on the 19th floor, but this building only has 14 stories.
Well, all righty, folks. Bob and Lorraine, Bob and Lori in Michigan pledged 100, and Mike in Pennsylvania pledges 150. Thank you. All right, the phone lines are open at 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673, or 888-281-1110. Okay, I'm going to do some quick math here. Let me see. What do we have? All right, so right now we are down to, Okay, we're down to, we need about 4,500. About 4,500 is what we need. 4,500. So, all righty, folks, 888-677. We've got approximately 35 minutes to raise 4,500. Can we do it? We can do it.
Sure, we can do it. One of the things I came across this past week was an author and basically a writer. And he lived from, his name is Burton Braley, B-R-A-L-E-Y. Lived from 1882 to 1966, and he wrote The Will to Win. If you want a thing bad enough to go out and fight for it, work day and night for it, give up your time and your peace and your sleep for it, if only desire of it makes you quite mad enough never to tire of it, makes you hold all things tawdry and cheap for it. If life seems all empty and useless without it, and all that you scheme and you dream is about it, if gladly you'll sweat for it, fret for it, plan for it, lose all your terror of God or man for it, If you'll simply go after that thing that you want with all your capacity, your strength, sagacity, faith, hope, and confidence, stern pertinacity, if neither cold, poverty, famished, and gaunt, nor sickness nor pain of body and brain can turn you away from the thing that you want, if dogged and grim you besiege and beset it, you'll get it.
All righty, there you go. Look at this. Canadian teen suspended from Catholic high school for opposing genderqueer trans ideology files human rights complaint. A Canadian teenager suspended from his Catholic high school for opposing transgender ideology has filed a human rights complaint alleging that he was subject to religious discrimination. Josh Alexander, 17, was suspended from St. Joseph High School. Now, let me tell you about this, folks. You folks up in Canada, believe me, take my word for this. Josh's morals, Josh's honor, Josh's integrity is far, far, far superior to those that at St. Joseph High School in Renfrew, Ontario. That's a fact. In November, they had issued a trespass notice for organizing a student walkout against biological males being allowed in the girls' bathrooms. Last week, Attorney James Kitchen with Liberty Coalition Canada filed a complaint with the Ontario Human Rights Tribunal over the suspension. These are people that have courage because that's a hardcore communist country. That is hardcore communist country. Little Castro is extremely anti-God, extremely anti-Christian. And so Josh believes he is called by the Lord Jesus Christ to proclaim the truth, which includes telling those around him about the Lord's design for gender and openly opposes the school board's policy of permitting males to enter into the girls' washrooms. The complaint said Josh believes he would commit a sin if he disregarded the Lord's calling on his life and remained silent. You're right, Josh. You're right. You keep it up. Listen. Listen. Keep your integrity. Keep your honor. You stand fast. God has called you into this, and he will be with you through it. You stand and stand your ground. Those people at St. Joseph High School, you may call them morally challenged, or I would call it morally degenerate.
Corrupt.
Totally corrupted. Unclean. All right. Let's see. John in Austin Town pledges 500. Thank you, John. Thank you. Okay, that puts us down right about down to about, I think we're getting about down to about 4,000. Let me see here. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we're down to, wait a minute, yeah. Okay, we're down to 4,000. Let's go for it. Let's go for it. Alrighty, we have about 30 minutes left in tonight's program to raise that 4,000. So, folks, we need all the help we can get so we can keep bringing you programs like this tonight.
Well, Pastor, you also have an article here from Anthem about how much our doctors are being paid for administering these shots to people. And they get bonuses based on the number of members that are vaccinated. And the latest statistics as of the beginning of April is that 26.6 million have been injured, 1.3 million have been disabled, and there's 300,000 people dead. The economic cost to all of that is $150 billion. And this is coming from a research firm for the calendar year of 2022. So, you know, those numbers, I'm sure, are being gotten off the VAERS report, which is only 1% to 2% of the total. So this is actually horrendous.
I know it is that, and we've been telling people, warning people about this now. You see, those doctors might have gained a lot of money, but they lost a lot of honor, integrity, and they lost credibility. Let me tell you, people don't trust them anymore. I mean, and they're starting to realize it, and some of them are saying, you know, it wasn't worth the money. It just wasn't worth the money, was it?
No, it wasn't. I'm getting a lot of phone calls from people saying, you know, give me your zip code. I'll look and see, you know, for those doctors from the American Frontline Doctors and Dr. McCullough's group with the COVID-19 critical care physicians to get you hooked up with a physician, you know, that does know what they're doing. The physicians, I get phone calls from individuals across the country that why is my physician not doing this and why is my physician not doing that? And when they ask for a certain routine test, you know, they're told it's not necessary, but they're not even providing the care that they used to 3 or 4 years ago.
There you go. And, you know, these are the days we're living in. But that's why, from what I understand, more and more people are going with the frontline doctors. And I'm seeing a lot of this, again, people are just turning totally away from, you know, the AMA has lost all credibility.
Correct. And there is another organization that is setting up in each state for unvaccinated blood right now. Transfusions, you know, collection clinics, that type of thing. And there's a push. And I know the gentleman was in Pennsylvania, Ohio, and Illinois, and Indiana so far, soliciting for those clinics that are willing to take donations. And if you do need blood for some reason, that unvaccinated blood would be available.
Okay. Give your number out again for the folks that can call you so they don't have to call me and ask for your number.
It's 440-478-4073.
Let's give that throughout the program today. All right, folks, 888. Listen, the phone lines have got to ring. We don't have much time left tonight. We've got less than 30 minutes left. 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. Or by credit card, 888-281-1110. That's 888-281-1110. We need to hear from you. We really do. Florida Gender Surgeon promotes Unix gender identity for kids. This is just unbelievable. It just don't stop, okay? A TikTok celebrity gender surgeon who... you know, these people are sick. These are child molesters is what they are.
Child abuse.
Child molesters who advertise their services. They're greedy, they're wicked, and they're evil. Services to vulnerable young people in social media has made a video promoting Unic as a valid gender identity that may benefit from surgical intervention. We've had a fool who has been sending us emails trying to tell us that transgenders are simply eunuchs, that eunuchs in the Bible were transgenders. No, they were not. They were people who were castrated, okay? Mm-hmm. And so that doesn't make them a transgender. It just doesn't.
Well, the gentleman's writing his own story.
Yeah. And here, Dr. Shibla Gallagher, the Miami-based gender surgeon who jokingly refers to medically unnecessary bilateral mastectomies as yeet the teats. That's sick. You know, I mean, unbelievable. Posted a video on her TikTok account in which she explains that a eunuch is someone who is assigned a male birth but may not be comfortable with the masculine features. That's a lie told by a woman who is extremely, listen to me, Dr. Sidibla, however, Gallagher, you are extremely, extremely morally challenged, and you need to repent of this. You're a very, very sick person. Now, this is not just my opinion. You will find this listed in God's Word, the Bible. You'll find that listed in God's Word, the Bible. Just, you know, it tells you that one, you're unclean. Two, God hates those that commit iniquity. Folks, or Miss Gallagher, you really need to repent. Because, see, here's what God has said. You're either going to repent of your wickedness or evil and quit molesting children, or you're going to burn in hell for a long, long time. There you go. That's what the Bible teaches, right?
Yeah, it does. And you know, Pastor, you were teaching in the church about Satanism. And one of the first laws of Satanism, you know, is the law of individuality. And then the opposite of everything. And in order to be accepted in that cult, you have to basically be more evil than what's out there already.
Yeah.
And that's what you see happening, at least from my perspective.
Well, you've got a good perspective. But we better go back to Joe because, you know, if you let him remain silent too long, who knows what can happen. But let me get the number out first. 888-281-1110. Folks, we got to hear from you. 888-677-9673. And now we'll hear from Joe. Are you still with us, Joe?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. On several things we've talked about tonight, that old adage, evil triumphs when good men and women do nothing. Like that Canadian pastor, he's out there leading the fight, but people aren't following him. If thousands would follow him, it would carry some weight, would do something, would encourage. We need people all over this country flocking to school board meetings, flocking to situations when they happen, like this thing, Illinois senator defending the looting, and the new elected mayor saying, well, it was a mass protest against poverty, against segregation. No, they smashed up a Tesla, that fancy car, Tesla. It was about a $120,000 car, and they just damaged it completely. That is not just a putting on a...
They did a whole lot more than that. They were shooting guns out in the crowds.
Yeah, shooting guns, tearing cars apart.
But that was just mostly peaceful.
Yeah, mostly peaceful. Again, same line. Mass protest against poverty, segregation. We shouldn't. It's not constructive to demonize our youth, according to the new Chicago mayor. Well, we had huge mobs ransack California gas station. Hundreds of youth mob, young people, smashed a convenience store at a gas station, stealing thousands of dollars of product there in Compton, California. And there were cars all over doing strange things. There were so few police that they couldn't do anything about it. The police and sheriffs were just overwhelmed. It was a flash mob. It had been planned, like this one in Chicago, planned on the media. It was on the different websites the different sites the kids go to. And it was all planned, both of these. Then they had the same thing, roaming mobs of teens, clients in San Francisco Mall, bystanders caught. They were scared. And again, they were calling for more police, more security, because there were more of these teenagers doing this. They were attacking other people, fighting, attacking bystanders. So here we have San Francisco, Compton, California, Chicago, youth mobs of teens doing violence. They were having fun. This stuff was pre-planned on the sites and places the children go and talk, like TikTok, and it's not a protest against, they were having fun, excitement. It's fun to be lawless. It's fun. They were taking pictures, and they show it to their friends on media. Look what we did. Look at what happened here. The children are turning into animals, like that old book, what was the story, where the young boys were locked on an island, Lord of the Flies. They're acting like the children in the book, Lord of the Flies, and it is because we've become a lawless society. There is no the law is not coming down, giving punishment. They're not being punished. People get away with it. They're letting killers go loose on bail. They're letting people commit robbery go loose on bail. And the kids see this and go, no consequence. Let's go party and have fun. And this will keep up until people get angry enough, like the title of the message, Where is the Rage?
When I tell you where it's at. It's right here. The phones are not ringing. The rage is right here, right now. You guys got to start calling. Now, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I put my money where my mouth is. We're going to have Doers of the Word. Baptist Church will now pledge $1,000 now. I'm looking for some matches. I'm looking for some people to match that $1,000. That puts us down. We need We've got 20 minutes to raise $3,000 in 20 minutes. So I need some...
Pastor,
yes.
I can't match you, but I'll pledge $200 and try and get any other military veterans out there or pastors to match my pledge.
All right, there you go. Pastor Joe just pledged another two, so very good. So now we're down to about $2,800 we need. So, folks, again, we need about $2,800. We've only got about 20 minutes to do it. So 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673. Okay, we're going to get into it as we get towards the end of the message this week, because that's what I was preaching on. And we're going to take a look at some of the good things that are happening out there, because, Joe, there is some awakening out there, not what it should be yet, but it's growing. And so, but we have to realize we're in for a battle. We're in a war. We have to realize we are in a war. And, you know, here in Manhattan, they've been having, let me go, we hear, "That's why I walked away from the plantation of the Democratic Party," witnesses Murray's House Democrats for mocking hearing on violent crime in New York City, tortures Alvin Bragg for freeing her son's evil killers. And so here, this article is out of the Gateway Pundit. The Gateway Pundit reported earlier that the House Judiciary Committee holding a hearing in New York today on the Marxist Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg's lawless pro-criminal policies. The Democrats got some of their own business today. Some of these people, guess what? And they were black people. And guess what they were doing? They were angry. And they have a right to be angry because they had relatives that were killed because of, thanks to Alvin Bragg, putting criminals, not prosecuting murderers and killers and so on. So here are the witnesses testifying at the hearing. Jose Alba, former Manhattan bodega clerk. Madeline Brame, chairwoman of the Victims' Rights Reform Council and mother of a homicide victim. And Jennifer Harrison, founder of Victims' Rights. All of these people were victims thanks to, well, Paul DiGiacomo, president of the New York City's Detectives Endowment Association, Robert F. Holdem, New York City Council District 30, Barry Borgen, father of victim of anti-Semitic hate crime, Jim Kester, co-founder and senior vice president of the policy. Well, the list goes on and on, but you can pretend that you aren't on Donald Trump's, that you aren't here on Donald Trump's behalf, but you can't stop the New York criminal justice system from running its course. This is the falsely accused GOPers of working on behalf of President Donald Trump. This guy is just unbelievable, this Bragg. He is just unbelievable. All he's talked about, Alvin Bragg, is prosecuting Donald Trump. He's got an obsession because his owner, his plantation owner, is pushing that. We know who that is, George Soros. He's sure. Given him his right. Marching orders out there, hasn't he?
But you, Pastor, have you noticed that so many of these people that are bought and paid for by a white George Soros is buying so many of the black prosecutors across the country?
So when you sell yourself,
he's buying his own. There's an irony there, isn't there?
So Alvin Bragg has sold himself. He's betrayed his God. He's betrayed his country. He's betrayed his fellow. He sold himself for money. What do you call someone that sells themselves for money?
A whore.
You hear that, Alvin Bragg? And Jerry Nadler was there. And Jerry Nadler was, remember Jerry Nadler? He was the one that was saying, God has no voice.
Yeah, right. No place, no voice in Congress.
In this Congress. Well, you know, I got a couple things for Jerry Nadler. One, Jerry Nadler, God's got a voice everywhere. You don't. Two, you will stand before him, not vice versa. And by the way, Jerry Nadler, God's Word, the Bible says sodomites will have their place in a lake of fire, Jerry Nadler. That's right, God has said sodomites will have their place in a lake of fire, Jerry. The Bible says this, God has said this, repent or perish. God has said repent or perish, Jerry, did you hear me? That's what preachers are supposed to be preaching to people like you, Jerry. You need to repent. Because I'm going to tell you, eternity is forever. Hellfire is forever. All right. George in Dallas pledges 200. George in Minnesota pledges 200.
All right.
Carol pledges 200. Boy, look at, they've all matched you. They all matched,
hey,
Pastor
that's
Joe.
That's fantastic.
Wow.
We have some more.
Yeah, we're getting down there.
Yeah.
And Carol, wow. Carol in Cleveland just matched my 1,000. Thank you.
Carl.
Oh,
wow.
That's Carl. Carl in Cleveland just matched my 1,000. Thank you, Carl. All right. Well, so we have 15 minutes left. We're getting there, but I don't know what I'll find out. We'll do the math here in a few minutes. We'll see where we're at. It's starting to look good, though. Okay. Here it comes in right now. Let me see where we have here. So we've got, well, that means we only need about 1,200. We're only 1,200 short.
One more match to you and one more match to me, and we've got it.
Yeah. One more match to Joe and one more match to me, and we've made our goal for tonight. Very, very good. Very, very good. So, again, that number is 888-677-9673, 888-677-9673, or 888-281-1110. That's 888-281-1110. So we've got approximately 12 minutes left, folks, to do that. So we need to raise $100 per minute for the next 12 minutes. So who can match? Can you match me? Can you match Carol? Or Pastor Joe, or all of these other folks that just pledged. So give us a call. We have 12 minutes left here tonight. Now, anyhow, yeah, what's going on there in Manhattan? I think Manhattan D.A. Alvin Bragg is going to rule the day that he did what he did when he sold out. Well, he's selling out New York when all of these people, you know, Joe, what a horrible thing when you come up, you get attacked, you get beaten, you get robbed, and then you get charged with a crime. And that's what happens, you know, this Satan, this devil, George Soros, this devil, he sends his people in, he hates God and country, to reward wicked, to reward evil, and to punish righteousness, to punish the innocent and reward the wicked. All right. Wow. Hey, Rosita in Michigan pledges 1,000. Thank you, Rosita. We're only 200 short of our goal now. We just need one more 200, and we're going to make our goal there. Wow. Praise the good Lord for this. This is coming in.
Fantastic. I've got one story that I wanted to get in at the top of the show. You know how Biden's been pushing, he wants to give control over the World Health Organization. You know, we're going on a break.
We done missed the break. We got all excited, but.
Go ahead on break. I'll do this story when we come back.
All right. Well, no, we'll just go. We'll go. We've got 10 minutes left. We got to get it done.
Okay. Anyway, there is a new report from the United Nations and written by the International Committee of Jurists, UNAIDS, and the Office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights. The report was released on International Women's Day, and the idea of guiding the application of international human rights law to criminal law. That sounds a little complicated. It's not. It's called the 8 March Principles. The report calls for offenses related to sex, drug use, HIV, sexual and reproductive health, homelessness, and poverty to be decriminalized. Also, when you look in there and think, it may not sound too bad, the report calls for sex between adults and minors to be decriminalized so long as the minors consent. I was talking about that earlier. So all over the world, we have these people who are trying to sexualize children and then trying to say these children are sexual creatures and they need and want sex, and as long as a child asks for it or, you know, gives their consent, it's all right. Down to about 8 or 9 years old, they keep pushing. Every year they started with 17, 16, kept trying to lower the age of consent, right, Pastor? And now they want to decriminalize drug use, anything that deals like with homelessness and poverty. Well, that's where they did in California. You can go in and steal as long as it's less than, what, $950? That's from one store. You can go the next store. In other words, you could steal $900 from six stores in a row, and it's still not a crime in California. That's why stores are leaving, closing down. A couple big stores, what was it, one of the big fancy Whole Foods closed in San Francisco. They weren't able to ensure the safety of their staff. So the Whole Foods Market, their new flagship there, closed down and left because of what? The homeless people that come in and rob the place blind. It's wonder when people will open their eyes and see, right?
Well, that's starting to happen, and you hear, so out there, Mr. Newsom, he's more concerned about going after churches and trying to shut them down, the ones that refused to promote or refused to accept the death shots and refused to...
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Those horrible Christians that wouldn't take a shot, wouldn't listen to him and obey him. They're criminals.
Right. And, you know, and of course, we warn people even before the first shot was given, even before the very first, we told people they're not vaccines, folks. Don't take it. This is why we see Joe and I don't make a dime. None of us here tonight, all of us here, we don't make a dime doing what we're doing. We do it because we love God and our country. We love this country. We love our freedom, and we know if we don't fight back, we're going to lose it. And that's why all of you out there listening to us, you know, you're by helping us stay on the air, you're helping us, you're fighting back with us. And,
right.
You know, in all of 50 years, we've never compromised, not one time. We never have backed down, and they have tried everything to get us off the air. But we're still here by God's grace. Not even George Soros has been able to get us off the air.
They kept trying to take away our income, but it's kind of hard when when our income is zero and double zero, kind of hard to take it away, isn't it?
Yep. Remember, Bloomberg bought out, what, two or three stations that we were in New York just to get us off the air?
The whole network.
Yeah,
the whole network.
The whole network. All right, Bruce in Wisconsin pledges 50, and Lori in Oregon pledges 25. So praise the good Lord for that. We're getting closer to that's about 125 is all we need. Well, Bill in Boston just pledged 100. So we're only about $25. Yeah.
Yep, we're within just a very short amount, and we've got it made.
Yeah, and folks, but we'll take more than that. We'll accept going over there.
Yeah, yeah. It wouldn't hurt because we might have another slow night, so sure. You know, it's a whole thing. It's going to take all week to make enough money to pay the bills for a month.
You're not kidding.
That's the way we do it. Once a month, we do a fundraiser and pays the bills for the month, and then we can concentrate on everything but fundraising the rest of the month.
Right. We try not to even speak it up, even though sometimes we have to. But what I'm going to want to do is tell the folks we're not, on some stations, we're not that far short of being able to go back on the air. And so
extra money might just put us over the top to get on one or two stations.
Well, Salem has made us a deal. Now, if we can raise an extra $100,000 on top of what we normally have to raise between now and June 1st, they will knock off an additional $50,000, which would, you know what that would do, Joe? That would put a bunch of stations back on. And we could get a bunch of stations. All right. Mahari in California just placed 100. Thank you, Mahari. We've gone over our amount. Praise the good Lord above. Amen.
Everything else tonight goes toward getting us back on a station that we lost.
Amen.
The first time we've been able to do that ever, I think.
Yep. So, yeah, we're getting close to it. We're not, we can get back. Yeah, well, you know, Joe, that was one of the things I talked about, because Salem really wants us on those stations, and those people want us back. I get some letters from folks just begging us to go back on. We're doing everything we can. It's not that we don't want to go back on. It's just, it's not easy. How much time do I have out there? Hey, Courageous, how much time do I have? Tell me. Alrighty. Okay, we have a lot to be thankful for, Joe. We're down here, and wouldn't you say, Elaine?
Yes, very much so. We've been blessed.
And so we want to go and share that blessing, and the biggest blessing anybody could ever receive. The greatest gift that anyone could ever receive would be eternal life. Would you not say so, Joe?
I could think of nothing greater than eternal life, especially where it's in heaven, where there's no pain, no tears, no fear, nothing but joy and love.
Okay, so now there are many, many people out there right now tonight that are saying, well, I don't know. I don't know. Where's the proof? Where's the proof in God? Okay, let me ask you a question. Where isn't there proof of God? Can you look anywhere and not see the creation? Okay?
No.
Okay, so has there ever, ever, ever been a creation that didn't have a creator?
No.
Nope.
Is it mathematically possible to have a creation without a creator?
It's impossible.
According to the best mathematicians in the world, it is not possible.
Now, we're living exactly in the days of Romans chapter 1, where we see this huge sin of sodomy and bestiality coming upon us now. And so here, and 2 Timothy chapter 3, could not be more precise. So we're seeing exactly what God said we would see. We're seeing exactly, but now we see that because we're biblically literate, right? But out there, Joe Sixpack is clueless, is he not?
Correct.
How do we convince Joe Sixpack that there's only one source of absolute, complete, and total truth that you can depend upon, and that's the Word of God?
We ask for God's intervention, all right, because God can move.
Well, and we're starting to see some of that. So, folks, here's the way it goes. Here's what the Lord Jesus said. He made it really clear. He said that what you need to do, if you want to escape a horrible, horrible, and I mean horrible eternity, he's given you a way out, hasn't he?
Yes.
He's giving you an open door, but what you have to do is you have to know how to make it there. And he says it's not that hard because he did all the heavy lifting, didn't he?
Oh, yep. Thank God he did.
He took our place upon that cross, right?
Correct.
Okay, so here now, since he did that, since he was the only one that could do that. He was the only one that could do that. Nobody else. The only acceptable sacrifice for the world's sin was a totally complete innocent individual, and only one person that did not have a human father, therefore sin was not passed down, okay, the sin nature through the flesh. So he's the only one, the Lord Jesus Christ was the only one that possibly could have done that. But if he had decided not to take our place in a substitutionary death, we'd all be in a world of hurt, wouldn't we?
Most definitely.
And so, but he did. Now, then he says here, I've given you that way out. Here's what you have to do. You've got to pray to the Father. Pray to the Father and ask him to forgive you your sins. You got to acknowledge the fact, because God already knows that you're a sinner. And what you deserve, according to God's word, what you deserve is hellfire, because you violated the laws of a holy God, and a holy God must punish sin. That's what holy gods do. They've got to punish sin. They judge sins. But since Christ took your place, he became sin for you. He took this. This is far, far, far above the comprehension of any human being to be able to understand what it would be like to take the sins of the world upon you. What that would be like to take the sins of the world upon you, it would be, it's far beyond human capacity to even begin to understand that. But Christ knew, he understood, because he was not just a man, he was a God-man. He understood he understood completely what he was going to have to go through, and he did it anyhow. And so, this is why when you pray and ask for forgiveness, once that forgiveness is granted, and God will do it, God will always honor a commitment of people that are sincere. Then you have to ask the Lord Jesus to be the Lord of your life, all of your life. See, he doesn't want anything halfway. Remember what he said? Unless you're willing to leave father and mother and family, he put you first when he hung up on that cross, folks. And now he's telling you, you've got to put him before anything. And that's what you have to do. You have to make him number one in your life. You've got to turn your desires toward God, toward heaven, toward Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, completely and totally without any reservations, without any. You got to do that. And if you do that, here's what God will do. He'll honor that commitment. And then you'll become a new creature, a born-again believer, an heir of the kingdom, and you'll be on your way. You'll be on your way to eternal life. Joe, you got 90 seconds to finish what I was saying.
All I can think of to go along with that is there was a great hymn, "Why do you wait, dear brother? Why do you tarry so long? Your Savior is waiting to give you a place in his sanctified throng. Why do you hope, dear brother, to gain by a further delay? There's no one to save you but Jesus. There's no other way but his way. There is no other way to salvation. There is no other way to eternal life except through the Son of God, the only begotten Son, who came as the Lamb of God to take away your sins and my sins. And the only way to get to heaven is to call upon the Son, call upon the Father, get forgiveness for our sins, and then ask the Son to be Lord of our life. That is the only way. There is no other way, right?"
Absolutely. Well, we're at that point where we get to every night at this time when we say, good night.
Good night.
God bless.
God bless.
God bless.
And always. You ready?
Keep fighting the fight.
How many more seconds? Well, we got the wrong signal.
Jumped the gun a little bit. Pastor, just a thought. You know what? We're dealing with all this wokeism. And as you're, you know, talking about blessings, I am so thankful that I am awake.
Well, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.